Welcome to the Fear and Doubt Detox Audio Summit. I'm Simona McNeil, a freedom from fear and visibility coach who helps women outsmart fear, doubt, and shame so they can go from dreamer to doer, one small action at a time. I'll be your host over the next 4 days, and I'm so excited to share these 20 plus interviews with you. Throughout these interviews, you'll be introduced to some amazing women of God. These are real women sharing their very real stories and experiences with fear, doubt, and shame, and how they overcame them. Together, we want to help you detox your thoughts, debunk the lies, and transform your life. Freedom is yours for the taking. While this event was created by Christian women for Christian women, this is a judgment-free zone where everyone is welcome. Think of these sessions as less of a finger-wagging soliloquy and more of a conversation between friends that we're inviting you to join in on. I'm so excited to hear about the growth, ahas, and transformation that come from this week's summit. Listen in. Fear and Detox community, I am so excited to introduce you to my sister, Karen. I can't say enough about Karen because she's so multi-talented. If I put it into one, what I've been doing is like 3 to 5 word bio. It wouldn't explain who she is. It wouldn't encompass her gifts. She is and has been for me and our friend group a mighty encourager, a prayer warrior. It's so funny. We're all around the same age, but she's been a mama at times when we needed it. She walks and exhibits his fruit. She is a proud mama of two. She's a wife. She wears many hats. She works outside the home. She's an author. The list of the things that this woman does is a mile long. And yet she still finds time to sit with those that she loves. She still finds time to pour into those that she loves. And I am so excited to introduce you to her today. Hey, Karen.
Hey, how you doing, Sam?
I am well. I'm so happy that you're here today. I'm so excited for you to talk to the people. The first question I typically use to kick things off is, how did you come up with your session title?
I've been living it.
Yeah.
And I hid myself. I have battled with perfectionism for years, and I call myself a recovering people pleaser. Sometimes it pops its ugly head up at the most inopportune moments. Yep. And I find myself sowing fig leaves. Therefore, I have more in common with them folk in the Garden of Eden than I care to admit. So the fact that this is being recorded, I suppose this is a step in my own personal deliverance.
I love that. He'll do it. Won't he do it?
Yes.
Oh, and there's so much power in your testimony. And I believe that he's going to use you to do his will, which is to help set the captives free. And sometimes the place that we need to be set free from isn't tangible. It's not a jail often, but it resides in our mind. It's the things that we believe, and thus the actions that we don't take, the dreams we don't act on, the gifts that he's given us that we don't unleash into the world and the marketplace. Yeah, your talk title for today is, "And I Hid Myself," Genesis 3:10. Unwrapped. All right, sis, take us back to the beginning. I know you've been living this. What should we know about Genesis 3:10?
It's really funny because when I was preparing and studying this, I left off the unwrapped part, but it was a little bit of a play on words because sometimes we try to wrap ourselves up into the perfect package and say, okay, God, I've been processing through this for all this time, and I'm prepared, I'm ready, let's go. And he's like, you are not where you think you are. I appreciate that reminder because it was a play on words, but it was very real. When I play with words, the truth comes out very transparent. If I write it, if I say it, it's actually more with my writing. My writing is way more precise. Sometimes I think that people who know me say, "Do you remember you said that?" I don't remember I said that. I say a lot of things. But when I write, because I'm a visual learner, I think it sticks in my brain even more. The context of this hiding of the man and the woman created by God is that God had in Genesis chapter 1 made provision to establish and manifest everything that they had need of. Therefore, everything was straight. They didn't have to do nothing but what God said, obeying the commandment, following the instruction. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? But we still ain't getting it right all these years later.
That's so true. That's so true. We're still struggling with it. Even though he's given us the blueprint, we're still struggling with it.
Yeah, we're trying to come up with stuff and he's knock. Hello, I created Adam for a purpose. Eve was created to help Adam fulfill God's purpose. It's all laid out there and they had work to do. So the fact that they took this lovely detour over to this tree out of all the other trees that they could have interacted with, they decided to just veer off and do their own thing. Why does that resonate with me? Anybody out there easily distracted or have issues with attention and focus? Hello. I'm raising both my hands.
So let's take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that you have struggled with perfectionism.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel your desire to be perfect caused you to hide? Or do you feel
Ooh.
that there's a connection?
I knew you was gonna get deep. I was like, I'm good. I'm holding on to the side of the pool. I've got my life preserver. I've got this lifesaver. I'm good. And then whoosh, there you go. I'm gone. Tsunami. It's over.
Love it.
How does thinking that I can present a persona that appears to be perfect, even though what's
Okay.
underneath I know is not, how has that figured into me hiding? Oh, I got real good at it. I think I perfected the hiding.
Yeah.
So that I guess I was putting a whole lot of extra wasted effort into something that was an illusion. I love how you just make me tell on myself. I bet your children just had to come out with it. Mom, my dear. It was me. I took the last cookie. If I am trying to make others believe that I've got this facade going on, it's really hiding. And I call it hiding in plain sight because it gets to be a little bit of a mind game where you're going down a labyrinth. And before you know it, you thought it was starting out like a game, and then you caught up. And then you start believing, as they say, you start believing your own press with this whole social media thing. It's just because you got so many followers or so many likes. That don't mean they with you. They just find you entertaining. And then they don't. Now, that's the thing that'll take you to the cliff and drop you over the edge. It's like, all these people were with me. But when you cease to fulfill their need, they ain't got no time for you.
I think for me, because I'm not going to leave you out here in the deep end, sis. I'm not. For me, I noticed within the workplace that I was assimilating. I was struggling with this need for validation, right? And thus, it created this desire to be perfect, this projection of this perfect image to please others. And I just found myself creating another personality, if you will, to accommodate others. And for a while, that was okay, because that was the pattern and the habit that I learned. It was something, it was like a coping mm-hmm. mechanism, if you will. And it wasn't until I was fired and was actually like going back and looking at stuff with the Holy Spirit that I was like, oh, I was just so out of order, like all wrong in my pursuit to please humans, which is a never-ending struggle because one person doesn't want what the other person wants. We see that all through culture with comparisonitis running rampant. We see that all through culture with imposter syndrome running rampant. And I just found myself in this place where I was like, the only one perfect is you. So why am I trying so hard?
That's liberating.
Say
When
that.
we acknowledge that we cannot achieve that unrealistic expectation, we weren't created to be perfect. We were created in his image to bring him glory. So if we're trying to climb that ladder, and if we happen to get to the top, we realize I have put my ladder up against the wrong wall. I've been striving to achieve this thing that is a vapor.
Now, I'm not here to say that I'm an expert in this in any way. God works with me when it comes to my identity, my value, my worth. I feel like on a daily basis, he is routinely snatching edges and getting me all the way together when I think I know something. He is routinely just revealing another layer of himself,
Well,
which
he must come by your way after he leave my place.
and he does it to convict me so that I can grow and become better. And sometimes that's not always easy. Like sometimes he'll say stuff to me and I'm like, I love you and I need a moment.
It don't feel good,
It
but he is a loving
doesn't.
father, and when he gets us told, we have been told, but it's the truth.
Yes, it's oh the truth. And that
And it
is
does
the
improve us when we make the correction. You're right.
and that is both the revelation and the freedom that comes from his word, whether he talks to you directly or you read his word, it's the revelation and the freedom that comes from the correction
I love
and in
that.
return, the growth.
As you were saying that, I was thinking how the way for us to address fear and doubt is to mature.
So good. Yeah.
I don't like it, but it's true. I just want to continue to act like a spoiled brat for a little bit. I want to be childish and act ignorant when, no, God, you've schooled me. You have taught me well. And I just got to put on my big girl drawers and get up and get moving. That's maturity versus being in my feelings and pouting and doing what I want to do. That's just out of order, as you say.
Yeah. And I really wish someone had told me that being in close relationship with God was not easy. I went to churches when I was young, and all I heard was things that are true, but things that are not the whole truth. So I heard things like, oh, just give your life to God. It's the best thing ever. Is that a true statement? Yes, because you gain eternal life. You don't have it any other way. I heard things like, when you get saved, it's going to be so easy. Run that back and explain that. Because if you read his word, he's telling you it's not going to be easy. Like
And our
in the word.
supreme example, Jesus, fast forward to cross. Hello. He didn't get a pass. Him being perfect, we just gonna be able to bypass our challenge. Not climb the mountain. I think I had to convict myself the other day of magical thinking. See, as long as I've been walking with the Lord, see, I'm still expecting some of this stuff to be instantaneous. And I was like, I'm facing packing. We're empty nesters now and getting ready to transition and downsize. And that magical thinking, whether I'm expecting angels, the Holy Spirit, somebody unknown off the street who happens to be a professional organizer to walk up in my house and fix it for me, none of those has happened. Therefore, it's going to be my own painful journey down memory lane, discarding some things, letting him, like you say, peel the onion layers, facing, oh, I remember that season. Why am I even keeping this? Or being reminded, this is where you have grown and matured from. Now it's time to put that away so I could take you forward. But you don't realize how stuck you are sometimes. And so that's why the moment I saw your email about the fear and doubt detox, I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna say, but I need to be up in there. Because I got
I love
plenty
it.
of material. I have cowered from fear for so long. And that's why I love hanging out with you, because you just face stuff head on. You tell me your knees are knocking. I don't believe you half the time. But no matter whether you have that fear, you're still committed to obeying God. And that is where the iron sharpens iron. And that's one, just one of the many reasons why I appreciate you being a godly example before me and having the opportunity to walk this walk with you.
I love you, sis, and you are the same for me. There are so many things and dreams that I had ages ago that I thought needed to be put down. And when you think of that, the reason I thought they needed to be put down wasn't because God told me to put them down. It was because I kept playing this script in my mind that told me, oh, you're not good enough. Oh, you can't do this. Oh, you can't do that. And as a result, it forced me to hide. It forced me to hide my light under a bushel, which again, we know we're not supposed to. And yet, our beliefs force us to be disobedient and rebellious against God and settle for less than what we deserve. That's one of the reasons why I put on the You Are Meant for More Summit, because I was like, there are people out there who are living a lie, believing it's the truth, and mad at our Father because they think it's his fault, instead of just owning that their experience on this earth is a reflection of their beliefs.
Ouch.
Or who they don't believe in.
Yeah, because if we believe that he was and is and evermore shall be the awesome creator of the universe who created something out of nothing, then we wouldn't be stressing like we do. You're exactly right. Thanks for stepping on my toes. Appreciate that. Is that free with the
Oh.
cost of admission?
Hey, sis, he'll be right back over here in 2 seconds. I guarantee
That
it.
whole omnipresent thing, I have a feeling he getting both of us at the same time.
He really is. He really is.
And I signed up for this. I volunteered.
I was saying that with another friend. I was telling her, I'm going through her boot camp, and I was telling her, I was like, you should really put on your sales page that when you do this, you are literally signing up for battle. I was like, you should tell us that we are signing up. And we think, oh, it's as simple as me clicking the buy now button. But in fact, what we're doing is making covenant with God and saying, I surrender to my flesh. Have your way. I said, you should really put that on your sales page. That way people can know what they're getting into. And we had a good chuckle about it because
Is that like a
I'm
legal
new.
disclaimer
Right.
at
I'm
your own
nearly,
risk?
exactly. I am nearly 4 weeks in. And so we are near the end of our time together. And the Lord has just been sharing so much revelation. There have been so many feelings that I have not been excited about. Because for me, one of the things that I learned to do very early on, aside from hiding myself, was hiding my feelings. And while I know that feelings aren't facts, feelings are important.
And they're indicators.
Yes, they really are. And so, if you don't feel a thing and go through it, you're very easily going to experience it again. If for no other reason than the fact that you didn't learn the lesson.
So let's make that connection between hiding and being desensitized. Because if we are sensitive to the Spirit of God, then we're not going to run away from Him. We're going to run to Him because we know that He is our healer. He is our friend. He is our Father. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. But when we're desensitized, we think, I can fix this. And nothing could be further from the truth. I'm going to take it back to this scripture. So, back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, it says, they were naked and they were not ashamed. Then distraction enters at chapter 3, verse 1, and there's an unfruitful conversation between Eve and the serpent where seeds of doubt were planted. And she begins to question God. That didn't originate from her. She was probably just doing what she was doing. And then this intrusion came. So why would we question God, the creator of all everything? That's how I wrote it in my notes. He the creator of all everything. And so now she's gonna be here like, So verse two, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. See, she got sucked in. See, first of all, some conversations we just have no business being in. But
Yes.
then in verse three, she added her own part. So first of all, she was wrong. And then she put wrong on top of wrong.
Right.
Because she said, neither shall you touch it. But God just said, thou shalt not eat of it. And you will surely die. And because she wasn't straight on the initial instruction, then there is no room for error when we're facing the enemy. So she was on shifting sand. And then in verse four, the enemy appeals to her flesh and her desire. He says, ye shall not surely die. But in verse five, he presented an alternative to the truth. That means a lie. And said, God knows that your eyes will be open and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So the funny thing is, we say, consider the source. Yeah, you're gonna know good and evil. The enemy got that right. But I like to say he is a liar, and the only language he speaks is lyingese. So people from Portugal speak Portuguese. The enemy is the father of lies, and he speaks lyingese. And his truth mixed up with a lie made the outcome to be a lie. Eve bought into this, and she allowed the enemy to feed her lust. And so in verse six, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes. Now, how many times have we been led astray by something we saw? We were just flipping channels, even going to watch that. And then here it is, 1 hour later, and they're, oh, let me put this in my list. I'm going to come back and binge it. What? That was not on my list of things to do today. I'm already overloaded, got too much on my plate. And now I done added not only 1 hour of programming, but a whole season. Pleasant to the eyes. But see, 1 John 2 and 16 talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but it is of the world. And so that's what Satan was presenting. You want this knowledge of good and evil, but it comes with a price. I see the light bulb on over your head. What you got? What you got, sis?
I think there was so much in that text that you just read. One of the questions that kept coming up for me was for you with regard to what, as someone who gets to walk through the world with their eyes open, what are the things that you feel are keeping people stuck, keeping them hidden? And I think one of the things that you shared, like without me even telling you, is this addiction to other programming. We don't realize how what we experience, what we take in, we both know about your gates. So, what goes into your ear gates and how that impacts your thoughts, how that impacts the ways that you retain scripture, the way that you are reminded of a Sunday school lesson. It's all connected. But for many of us, we'd like to think, oh, I'm just here. I'm just here. Some people get stuck in survival mode and they pursue surviving over thriving because God said that we're here to live life more abundantly, not just to survive, not just to have these experiences that make us want to pull our hair out or avoid life. We're not meant to hide from life. We're meant to experience it.
You're going to make
Yeah.
me answer that question, aren't you?
I really am. I created the awkward silence for it and everything.
See, now you got me skipping from verse 6 of Genesis 3. We just gonna jump on to verse 10. Let's go to 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? So Eve, with her being led astray by stuff looking good to her eyes, she decides to share it with Adam and everything. So she took the fruit, touched it, and handled it. Her senses were fully engaged, and she did eat, and she gave also unto her husband, and he did eat. So now she was out of position. She done pulled somebody else out of position, and we as women know that we have immense influence. And so we got to be real careful that does not teeter over into the sin of witchcraft, because that ain't cute. I don't care what season is coming up. There is nothing good or godly about witchcraft. It is sin to God, and it separates us from him. God was doing what he was doing, walking in the cool of the day, and wanted to commune and fellowship with his creation. And so when he called Adam, in verse 9, he said, where art thou? And God asked a question he already knew the answer to. And so when I was studying, I wrote it down, where you at? Because we could get all deep and philosophical when we're reading the scripture. But then when it comes alive to us, where are you in this moment, my child? He speaks to us. And so I believe that they're hiding in that moment. The key is in verse 10. And Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And that excuse emerged from shame. And that shame was not present in Genesis 2:25. They were naked and unashamed. So the shift was the entrance of sin that broke that fellowship with God, because he's a holy God. And so they introduced that negative influence of sin, and God had to deal with it. He said, what you trying to cover up your mess with, them fig leaves ain't doing it. And so God still came after them and made provision. Something had to die. Blood had to be shed. But God kept his covenant to cover his people, his creation. He's still doing it today for us. He's covering us when we feel ashamed, when we feel low, when we feel like we have done things that we could never come back into relationship with him. And he is a loving, kind, and forgiving father. He is a just God. He is a holy and righteous God with a standard that is unwavering. But he is a good parent, and his love is evident in his action. And so as we look and see that fear caused them to do some things that were going in the opposite direction of running toward God. They were running away from God, but God found them. And then he covered their nakedness in an appropriate way. And gee whiz, thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence right now, because maybe I stopped studying too soon. I had to go to work. But he covered them so that they could be restored back into right relationship. And he's doing that today for us. He doesn't leave us out there to deal with our shame by ourselves. And I'm so grateful, because that's too heavy a burden. And fig leaves don't cut it. Think about it. Fig leaves wither and shrivel up. So then your stuff is just out there hanging in the wind. But God got a coat of skin. That thing probably had some hair on it. I ain't gonna say he put a leather coat on them. But God had foresight and knew they were gonna need more than fig leaves. And he provided that. Now they had some consequences to deal with, for sure. But he didn't leave them in their shame, wallowing and drowning. As when we think about hiding ourselves, we can choose to stay there, or we can receive the gift from our Father, because he makes the provision. He makes a way back for us. As someone who is directionally challenged, I like to say we can always take a U-turn. And this was, I started driving in the days before there was such a thing as GPS. So I have made my fair share of U-turns.
That is so good. I love how we started talking about fear and doubt, and we made our way to shame. Like he just encompassed all three topics all in one talk. Because he
I
knows what his
couldn't get
children,
away from it. It's there. It's all together.
and he knows what his children need. For that person who is experiencing shame, and maybe don't even call it shame, maybe don't even notice shame, maybe you call it guilt. Maybe you call it regret. These are all terms that we've learned from school, we've adapted to because of culture, but they are what they are. They are synonyms for shame. If you're experiencing that right now, I want you to remember that while God's goodness and his mercy hunt us down and will chase us every day for the rest of our lives. Because of his character and his word, we also know that his faithfulness is chasing us. We know that his favor is chasing us. We know that he's a good and loving father, just like Karen shared. And because of that, he is waiting for you. He's waiting for me. He's waiting for all of us with open arms. And it's as simple as, I like to call it admitting, because for some people, repentance is like a big word. Like, that's a scary word. That's like a four-letter word. But I like to call it just admitting and owning. God, I thought I could do your job. I thought I could get myself out of this situation. I thought I knew the right answer. I thought I knew which way to go. Admitting that and saying, but the truth is, I don't.
I see
And
my wretched state and
yes.
I know I'm naked.
Yep.
That is the surrender you talked about at the beginning. Like, what I'm gonna do? Here I am, jacked up. Me hiding myself is my temporary and inadequate attempt to fix a God-sized issue.
Yes.
It's really the image that I had in my mind was, I made a mess, God. Help me.
Yeah.
Like a little child reaching up for their parent.
And this is your opportunity to do. It doesn't take a lot. We like to think because of earthly experiences, we like to think, oh, I made a mistake. Now I'm bad. Oh, I've come to the realization that I'm not perfect. And now I should just be discarded. But that's the way that man handles those situations. And we know that God is not a man. His word tells us that he's not a man that he should lie. He's not a man in how he carries himself, right? He's not a man because he's all powerful, because he's faithful. And we just have to remember to extend ourselves some grace. We have to remember to admit our wrongs. We have to remember to repent early and often and ask for his guidance.
Simona, I think the reason people shy away from the word repentance is because it's not just that I stop doing. That is the first part of admitting that I stopped doing what it was that was putting distance between me and God. But it's the turning away from that thing. That's the part that trips us up as humans. Because if I knew how to do that, I would. Nevertheless, God wants to partner with us. He wants to show us the way. He wants to instruct us according to righteousness. He wants us to allow his word to be a lamp unto a feet, our feet and a light unto our path. But where we go on a detour is try and do it on our own. Ask me how I know.
It's his job to do the healing. All too often, we don't want to repent. We don't want to turn away from a situation because we're like, oh, I got to do it all on my own. Let me wait until I get good and then I'll come back to God or I'll turn it over to God. No, like you said, if you could do it yourself, you would have. If you could do it yourself, we wouldn't even be talking about this right now. But there are some God-sized problems that we need to lean on him for so that he could take them on and win the battle, right? We know that victory is ours, but it's not ours because of anything that we could do on our own. Victory is ours because we are the children of the victor. And that's 2 Chronicles 7:14. Yeah. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves
And pray and
and pray.
seek my face and
Yeah.
turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and
Yeah.
will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Can you
And we
read that?
must have healing or else we'll continue to hide. And I can tell you that is like being, what is that Harrison Ford movie, The Fugitive? You're a fugitive from justice. You're a fugitive from grace. If you always on the run, that is not no life. That's not the abundant life that he planned for us. So when we're always going hiding, that's no way to build a relationship. It's like the ostrich putting his head in the sand. It doesn't feel good. So I'm just gonna go and run. I'm just gonna go and remove myself. I'm just gonna go and isolate. It is a fix, but it's not the fix.
Absolutely agree with that. You said something really powerful there. And I want to make sure that the listeners receive it. And you said the importance of
Not hiding,
that
not
something
isolating,
impacts the healing.
to run and hide. It's not being willing to lay down on the operating table. It's something that's got to come out. But we just gonna run and I just deal with it. It's been with me for so long. I don't feel like taking time for the surgery. I don't feel like whatever the recovery time is, not knowing that down the road, not only is it gonna hinder you, but it's gonna keep you from ministering to the people that God has to come across your path because you are out of sorts. Because you have something in you that has not been addressed by your creator. Because we pick up stuff. Like Eve had this conversation that she ain't had no business being in Genesis 3:1. We get into stuff. I'll be the first to admit that. But the fix is to run to the presence of the Lord and say, I made a mess. Help me, Lord. If we're too late, before we even get into it, he can help us to get out. But oftentimes, we will continue to dig before we come to him. Am I the only one?
You're not. I think that's why relationship is so important. Because if you just rely on what you receive from church on Sundays, you just rely on what someone else says, then you're not truly in relationship with them. And as a result, you don't feel comfortable just going to them and saying, "Hey, Dad, I need you. I can't get out of this by myself." And I think that in itself is a doorway for the enemy.
And that
I think,
entrance of shame
yeah. And doubt.
and
I
fear.
heard,
Because when
yeah.
we hear his voice, it's, oh, he coming to hang out with me. He wants to fellowship with me, and I'm dirty. I'm naked. I've been rolling around in the mud. Can't go to my father like this.
Yeah. I mean, is that not the prodigal son?
What I love about the story of the prodigal son is that the father did not change his position. He stayed in a righteous position and he continued to operate in love.
Yes.
So he didn't go to the pig pen and pull his son out. But when his son came to himself and realized, I am in a place of foolishness and debauchery, let me go back to my father's house. At least his servants are living better than this. And when he humbled himself and he approached his father in the right way with a repentant heart for how he had done, he was received and cleaned up. Because, see, that's funny. The scripture doesn't say that they gave him a bath, but I'm sure with that nice robe. And you know, the ring and everything. And if your dad's gonna give you a barbecue, he ain't gonna have you coming in there stinking, smelling like You've been in the hog pen. So there is a process of restoration. And if we have that magic thinking, it messes us up. The sparkles and the stars that we see on the before and after social media, on TV, and the movies, that messes us up. But real life is a process of going from the pig pen back to our Father's house.
It's damaging when you choose to see him as the magician or the slot machine versus the mighty creator that he is. Damaging.
Because he's so much bigger than that.
He's so much bigger than the boxes we put him in.
True. As winter is approaching, my prayer is that we would forsake our fig leaves and allow God to clothe us with his righteousness. He has a natural covering. For Adam and Eve, he had a coat of skins. But for us, he has a covering for every situation and circumstance wherein we have experienced shame, fear, doubt, unbelief, insecurity, inferiority, resentment, unforgiveness, anger, revenge. We women of God, is all of that up in there? Under our beautiful hats and our lovely outfits. Oh, yes, it is. So we can either continue to go on our detour and hide, or we can just return to the place of restoration where God wants to meet us and make the corrections, make the adjustments. And then be restored to right relationship with him and walking in agreement with him. Because his will for us is good and his plan for us is perfect. So when we get into the stuff that's not so perfect, we could tell who's driving.
That was so good.
Appreciate it because he's reassuring me because I got about 50, 11 maps around me and I'm trying to figure some stuff out and it's a hot mess. So I got to go back and return, repent, lay down all of my nonsensical plans, because they ain't working, Simona. I'm telling you. Stuff can make sense in your mind, and then when you start trying to do it, it's like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. It's so funny you say that because I was talking to another friend, and as I was talking about the stuff and just saying it out loud, I was like, that does not make any sense. What are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. And then she was like, yes, sis, I wasn't going to say it until you finish, but I was thinking the same thing. I was like, okay. But yeah, we can convince ourselves, oh, I should do this. And we convince ourselves that we need to do things to help him. He doesn't need help. We
Not
need
at
help,
all.
but he doesn't need help.
Or we can say, I'm 75% in, so I may as well just go all the No, sis, don't go all the way. When you realize that the stuff ain't working,
Right.
just throw your hands up and be like, Lord, help me. I'm sorry. I made a mess. Can you please help me get out of this? Because I
Yeah.
cannot find my way out of a brown paper bag.
And I think the surrender and the letting go piece that you talked about a little earlier, that's why they're so key. That's why they're so important.
And I just want to say, because you're always challenging me, that surrendering is not easy,
It's not.
but
Oh, no.
that's a different type of fear versus the fear of I am in this mess that I created and I'm walking by myself.
Yeah.
So there's the fear of the unknown, but I'm walking with God and I'm in obedient, I am walking obediently to what He has instructed versus I'm afraid because I don't know what's coming next because I made this catastrophe and I don't see a way out. We have to rely on God. That's a God-sized problem and
Yeah.
it is beyond our pay grade.
Yes. And I think what you just described there is the difference between having fear of God versus having these earthly anxieties that we tap into and claim and own and wrap ourselves in and allow them to be our identity. And one of them being the fear of uncertainty.
And it's also closely tied with the people pleasing, because if we're fearing what other people think more than we fear the Lord, I did not realize how much of an idolatrous position I had placed myself in because I cared so much about what I thought other people thought. And I say I thought because you know what? I have learned half the time, 99.9% of the time, people ain't studying you. They do not care. Like, I literally had somebody to ask me, how you doing? And I was like, I'm tired. And she was like, oh, good. Praise the Lord. I was like, rewind. Did you not even hear? Okay. All right. You just in your own world. Thank you for greeting me. And I'm just going to go ahead and continue to sit here and stew in my own juices and try and figure out, because I know Jesus would go work it out, but your encouragement in that moment left me wanting. People don't care as much as we think that they do.
Yeah,
that's a whole lot of energy we expend for very little return.
And that's where our relationship, again, is so important. Because I know, I'll just be transparent here. I was holding a lot of things against God for things he had nothing to do with. They were the way his children responded and reacted. And we know they have free will. We know that he's not going to say, okay, you're dealing with my daughter, Simona. Like, only nice words. Nothing that can plant a seed of doubt. Nothing that can try to shatter her identity. These are humans that I experience. But in my mind at that time, I remember thinking, oh, he created them. Like, he knew they were going to act like this. He could have prevented it. And it's that type of stinking thinking that one prevents us from relationship, two keeps us stuck, and three, like, it just keeps us separate from his promises. So in essence, we're doing the enemy's job.
That's a whole nother session talking about us going and hiding ourselves based on an illusion. Come on, girl. You didn't give me 3 hours, so I can't even start. But I got you. That's real.
Yeah.
That's very real.
Yeah. There might be a part two, y'all. That's all I'm saying.
I'm here for it.
Yeah. All right, Karen. I have talked your ear off, and I can continue to talk your ear off. There's no doubt
when
that.
We get together, it's just straight fellowship. And
really
I believe
is.
That God is in our midst. So I am grateful for what he has revealed in this time.
Yeah.
Because it's helped
definitely.
Me. So I thank you for the opportunity. And I pray that the listeners on this audio summit are beyond blessed and can learn from my hiding episodes and run quickly into the presence of the Lord, not stay away from him longer than you have to, because he's right there waiting with open arms to receive us back and restore us to the position that he created us for, his glory. And we don't bring him glory when we're hiding.
Preach. We sure don't. Oh, goodness.
So then who we in alliance with? Come on. It's two sides. Choose ye this day.
Yes.
We don't want to say today I'm on the devil's side because I'm hiding, but I guess that's what it boils down to, huh?
It does.
That was definitely not in my notes. I definitely just stepped on my own toes.
Yeah. Don't make it easy for him. Don't do his job.
Mm-mm.
My God. All right. I know you put together an amazing free gift. So let's talk about that a little bit and then remind everyone how they can stay in touch with you. Your website, social.
I would love for you to subscribe at KarenCathcart.com, KarenCathcart. Come on over there, find out what I'm talking about with some encouragement for the ministry of the mundane, the everyday life, that we just need to be reminded that God is in our midst and he is there to encourage us as we are walking this journey called life.
So good.
Y'all can shoot me an email, connect@KarenCathcart.com. I will answer you myself. I love to talk to folks who are dealing with realizing that they've been hiding and that there is a better way. It took me a really long time to figure out that it didn't have to be as hard as I was making it. So anytime I can help to cut time off of somebody's detour, I am glad to share that, because life is short and we don't want to waste the time, the precious time that God has given us. There are lives to be touched, and let's go to his presence, stop hiding, get healed, get restored, grow, mature, develop, stay in relationship, and move forward and be the awesome creations that he put us here on this planet to be, letting our light shine for him.
You are sharing the 10 things I wish I knew before my 40s.
Ciao, y'all got to get this. Click that button for real. It simplifies some things. Like I said, I realized I was making things way harder. I was hiding and then unhiding and then hiding again. I did so much. I did too much. I did all the things. And the sad part is it was unfruitful. So if I can save you some unproductive work, click that button, get my gift, and then holler at your girl. You can write me. You can email me at connect@karencathcart.com and we can have a conversation, because we definitely don't want to get caught up in that Genesis 3:1 getting detoured by the lies of the enemy. Yeah. So let's stay in truth. Let's stay in unconditional love, and let's walk in agreement with God and do what he put us here to do.
Look at my sis, the pastor's wife.
Girl, I'm just trying to stay saved, okay?